Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila. Talks between the Lord and Ramananda Rai. I think today the Sanskrit is on the board, so. Oh, your next verse. Oh, okay. Please repeat. Mahant swabhava e tarite pamara. Nija karya nahi tabu yana tara gara. Mahant swabhava e tarite pamara. Nija karya nahi tabu yana tara gara. Mahanta swabhava e tarite pamara. Nija karya nahi tabu yana tara gara. Mahant swabhava e tarite pamara. Nija karya nahi tabu yana tara gara. Matajis. Mahant swabhava e tarite pamara. Nija karya nahi tabu yana tara gara. Nija karya nahi tabu yana tara gara. Translation. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupada Ki. It is the general practice of all saintly people to deliver the fallen. Therefore, they go to the people's houses, although they have no personal business there. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupada Ki. A sannyasi is supposed to beg from door to door. He does not beg simply because he is hungry. His real purpose is to enlighten the occupant of every house by preaching Krishna consciousness. A sannyasi does not abandon his superior position and become a beggar just for the sake of begging. Similarly, a person in household life may be very important, but he may voluntarily take to the mendicant way of life. Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami were ministers, but they voluntarily accepted the mendicant's life in order to humbly preach Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message. It is said about them, Chaktya Tuna Masesha Mandala Pati Srinim Sadatu Chavat Bhuta Gina Ganesha Karu Karunaya Kopina Kanta Srito. Although the Goswamis were very aristocratic, there's a typographical error there. Were very aristocratic on the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they became mendicants just to deliver the fallen souls. One should consider that those who engage in the missionary activities of Krishna, of the Krishna consciousness movement, are under the guidance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They are not actually beggars, for their real business is to deliver fallen souls. Therefore, they may go from door to door just to introduce a book about Krishna consciousness so that people can become enlightened by reading. Formerly, brahmacharis and sannyasis used to beg from door to door. At the present moment, especially in Western countries, a person may be handed over to the police if he begs from door to door. In Western countries, begging is considered criminal. Members of the Krishna consciousness movement have no business begging. Instead, they work very hard to introduce some literatures about Krishna consciousness so that people can read them and be benefited. But if one gives some contribution to a Krishna conscious man, he never refuses it. Om Gyan Timirandasya Gyana Gyana Shalaka Takshumi Damina Tasmai Sugurave Namaha Shuchintanya Mano Bishtam Stabitamina Bhutali Sangram Padantikam. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandajika Pati Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gurangirada Vindavanishwari Vishabana Sita Devi Panavami Hari Priya Bukam Karoti Vajanam Pangalanga Yati Gringa Kipadana Mandishi Guru Dintayanat Pramana Mandava Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Gaura Sri Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Dobrodosli. No one is answering. What's happening? Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Why is everybody quiet today? Somebody died? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Very well. Okay, so today we're continuing from before I start, please. I'd like to ask for your blessings to be able to say something beneficial to everybody and most especially myself. We are continuing from the verse from two Sundays back, I guess. Because last Sunday, Marco chose. So this is the verse that is after the verse that was two Sundays ago, if I'm correct. So the translation again says, "It is the general practice of all saintly people to deliver the fallen. Therefore, they go to people's houses, although they have no personal business there." Now, before going into the purpose itself, this is the translation is a summary of the Krishna consciousness movement. The practice of all saintly people is to deliver the fallen. So the practice or the duty of every member of the Krishna conscious movement, of this Harinam Sankirtan movement, is to deliver the fallen people. Now let's not forget that the verse before this said that actually everyone is fallen. The verse before this, Prabhupada clearly mentions that in the purport that according to Vedic standards, everyone in this material world is fallen. So, breaking news. If you do not know, now you know. Everyone. And the next verse says, is the principle of saintly people to deliver the fallen souls. So, two things here. Those who were saintly, they have taken it as a mission and duty upon themselves to deliver those who are in the material world who are fallen by giving them an opportunity to embrace the Krishna consciousness movement. Now, if we are in the Krishna consciousness movement, it is assumed that we should be saintly. It is assumed. But if we're in the Krishna consciousness movement and we are not saintly, then we should try to be saintly. Why? Because we have a duty to deliver those who are fallen. You cannot be in the Krishna consciousness movement and it is assumed that you are saintly and it is expected that you deliver the fallen people and you're not doing it. That is why our principal duty, our main job, is to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. There's a verse I'm trying to find in my memory. I think it's chapter 12, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. 12:20. Ye to the mamitam idam, yekitam paripasatis, shadadamamat paramam, bhakta state you are made prayer. So those who follow this imperishable path of devotional service, and who completely engage themselves, who completely engage themselves with faith, making me the supreme goal, are very, very dear to me. Now, the imperishable path of devotional service is the path which saintly people tread. Now, by engaging in devotional service, Krishna says that we become very, very dear to him. Now, this verse clearly states that the duty of saintly people is to deliver the fallen souls. So, the saintly people here, which we're supposed to all be, we are trying to also make other people dear to Krishna, according to this verse, by bringing them to the path of imperishable devotional service. That's what we're doing. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to make every other living entity very, very dear to Krishna, back to state your main prayer, by bringing them to the path of devotional service. Now, interestingly, or more interestingly, is Prabhupada opens by saying, a sannyasi is supposed to beg from door to door. Now, interestingly, if you look at Manu Samhita, even though most of the things there are not very practicable in this lifetime, but Manu has carefully listed out the duties of every ashram or varna. And sannyasis have their duties, vanaprastas have their duties, grihasthas have their duties, ramacharyas have their duties. And here it says that a sannyasi is supposed to beg from door to door. He does not beg because he's hungry. So, the sannyasi uses the excuse of begging to actually preach to people. It said the sannyasi goes to the house of a grihastha and he stays there for as much time as it takes to milk a cow. He gives them his kamandalu pot and just the time it takes for the wife to milk him, to get him milk from the cow, that's the time he stays. So in that fraction of time, he has the opportunity to speak with the head of the house, which would be the husband, while the wife is milking the cow. So she's milking the cow, he takes that time to preach to the husband. He has that much time. His milk comes, thank you, Hari Hari Bo, he's gone. Now whatever he transmits to the husband at that time, it is expected that he also transmits to his wife. That you know what this sadhuji just told me while he was here? He also says the same thing. He goes to the next house in the pretext of also begging, and he does the same thing. So he goes from door to door, not begging because he's hungry, not begging because he wants to improve his bank status, not begging because he wants to acquire material things, but using that as an excuse to preach. Now, there's a morning walk conversation with Srila Prabhupada. I've told a few people this story, where looking at Maharaj was wearing a white dhoti. And Prabhupada looked at him and said, now you're Paramahamsa? And he says, no, Prabhupada, the people who were supposed to bring dye did not bring the dye on time. So I could not dye my dhoti. And you were coming out and I had to come, so I just had to wear something. Then Prabhupada started saying something else. Then he drew Prabhupada back. He says, oh, Prabhupada, Paramahamsa, wear white? Prabhupada said, Paramahamsa, do anything. He said, oh. So Srila Prabhupada went on to further explain the types of sannyasis. Now, sometimes in our movements, just sometimes, and some people do not understand that there are different classes of sannyasis, or there are four stages of sannyasis. And Prabhupada explains, he says there's Kutichak, there's Bahudak, there's Parivajak, and there's Paramahamsa. And then he explained in that letter, in that morning walk, he says, I have ordered Ketanananda, then Swami, to act on the level of Bahudak, which is the second level. And then he explains what each level is. He says, Kutichak is a fresh sannyasi. He's just accepted sannyas. He goes from door to door to beg for his food. That's what he does. And he preaches vigorously. That's Kutichak. That's first sannyas. First level of sannyas. The Bahudak, on the other hand, doesn't go from door to door to beg, but accept what comes to him naturally. Still preaching vigorously. I'm just summarizing because we don't have time. The third level, Parivajak, has traveled extensively, has preached, has a solid structure of his preaching endeavor where he has actually made people Krishna conscious, in quote, disciples who are following extensively. Now he can focus on that particular project or whatever, give all his energy there. At this stage, if his disciples or students bring something, Hari Hari Bol. If they don't, Hari Hari Bol. The final stage of Sannyasi Paramahamsa is where he detaches himself from this extensive preaching and focuses on his own internal bhajan. This is a summary of the four stages. But somehow or other, most times, we, or some people, think that immediately you get Sannyasi, you become Paramahamsa. It doesn't work like that. I wish it was that easy. But it's not. And Prabhupada explains very detailed. People, you can look up the morning walk conversation. I can't remember the dates, but I can find it. It's a discussion between him and Kotanananda. Sorry, looking at Swami and some other people. So, but that's by the side. Now, if we extrapolate that event here, the sannyas, and Prabhupada stresses sannyasi here so much, so maybe today's topic is about sannyas. And even though I'm not a sannyas, I cannot talk about the sannyasa ashram. But the idea is, but still, Prabhupada goes on to mention about the grihastha here, that sometimes the grihastha also can take up sannyasa, even though he's very comfortable, so that he can preach. And Prabhupada gives the example of Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, who were ministers, and they voluntarily gave up their comfortable life to become mendicants. So, which is to also say that every ashram is not an end in itself. Brahmacharya ashram should not be an end in itself. It could be. Grihastha ashram could be an end in itself, but there's always a step further. Vanaprastha ashram could be a step further. It should not be an end in itself. And even sannyasi should not be an end in itself. What do I mean by that? For example, the grihastha who is the householder may or may not take sannyas. And Prabhupada explains that if you have a wife who is Krishna conscious and you're both serving properly, that is as good as sannyas. The ashram or the external regalia of the ashram is not what makes you the sannyas. You make the dress. The dress doesn't make you. If I put on a police uniform today, does that make me police? If I put on the dress of, let me see, what? A skydiver and wear a parachute on my back, does that make me a skydiver? So you make the dress. The dress doesn't make you. You understand? But sometimes we get so attached to the externals that we think the dress is going to make me. By putting on white dhoti doesn't make you a grihastha. Putting on saffron dhoti doesn't make you a brahmachari. It's just the externals which is attributed to that ashram. You make the dress. The dress doesn't make you. So Prabhupada is clearly making the distinction here that preaching is not just for sannyasis. Hello, that also grihasthas can also do this. And he cites Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, who voluntarily gave up their comforts to go outside and preach. It's not just one person's job, or it's sannyasis. This is not to say that the fact is clear that some people have it more as a priority. The sannyasi has this as his major priority. If you're taking sannyasi, there's only one reason why you take sannyasi, you should preach. And if you're already preaching, why do you need to take sannyasi? So that's one question. But if you say this is what you want to do, then that's the only reason why you should do it. But Prabhupada is stressing that, and like I said in the beginning when I started speaking, I said, it is assumed that everyone in the Krishna conscious movement is saintly. Everyone in the Krishna consciousness movement is assumed that we are saintly. Why? Because we are supposed to deliver those who are fallen. And why are we supposed to deliver those who are fallen? Because we are on the path of devotional service. And Krishna clearly mentions there in Bhagavad Gita chapter 12 that those who are on this path, they are very, very dear to him. So if you're very, very dear to Krishna, it means you have the capacity to help those who are fallen. So if you have the capacity to help those who are fallen and you're very dear to Krishna and you're not doing it, then something is wrong. And that's why usually you hear the phrase, we are Gosti Anandas, we are not Baji Anandas, we preach, we help people, we etc. Now that's the aim. But Ayinde Prabhu always say that the perfect Gosti Anandi is the self-realized Banan Anandi. Now people get this mistaken sometimes. What he is trying to say, it's clearly referenced here. The verse before this, the very verse before this says very clearly that in this age of Kali, there is hardly anyone who is not fallen according to the calculations of Vedic behavior. And Prabhupada quotes Madhulila 19:146 in the purport. So having this at the back of your mind, for you to be a perfect Gosti Anandi, a perfect preacher, you have to be a self-realized Bhajan Anandi. Now that doesn't mean that, okay, you unceremoniously and, how do you say, without proper guidance and understanding, go into seclusion and say, now I want to focus. No. It means you have to work on yourself first. Because technically speaking, we're all fallen. That's why we're here. And if you're not a Nitya Siddha, Prabhuji, you and I are fallen. Breaking news. So what Ayinde Prabhu means is that we have to perfectly work on ourselves first. Then we can save other people. If we are not dear to Krishna, how can we make someone else dear to Krishna? There's a saying, physician, heal thyself. You cannot have a log in your eye and you're trying to remove dust from my eye. How can you even see my eye? You understand? So at the end of the day, we are supposed to come out from this position so that we can help people to come onto the same position where we are, which is supposed to be the saintly position according to this verse. Having said that in mind, then it boils down to one thing, that if we know that at the end of the day we're supposed to preach, if we know that at the end of the day we're supposed to take advantage of the Krishna Conscious Movement, the Harinam Sankirtan Movement, and we're supposed to come up to that saintly platform, if we know all of this, then why are we not doing it? That's one question. Second question. Whether you're sannyasi, whether you're brahmachari, grihastha, you know, grinitako, vanitako, sarareboyunako, whatever ashram you have, Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes it clear that we're supposed to all chant the name of Hari. That's our prime duty, whichever ashram you belong to, irrespective. You're supposed to chant the name of Hari. So reminding us again that irrespective of our ashram, we're supposed to be propagating these names of Krishna so that we can become dear to Krishna. There's another verse, who can remind me, and Tusyanticha Ramanticha. Who knows that verse? Magata Apana. That 10:9, thank you. Machita Magata Apana, Buddhanta Parasparam, Katansu Shamamnitya, Tusyanti Charamanticha. The thoughts of my pure devotee dwell in me, their lives are fully devoted to my service. So, their lives, devotees in general. He did not say, sannyasis' lives are devoted in my service. He said, devotees. Sannyasi, grihastha, vanaprastha, whatever. Their lives are fully devoted in his service. And what is this service? The service of trying to deliver people from the fallen level and make them saintly. By what? By bringing them to the imperishable part of devotional service so that they can become very dear to Krishna. He said, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. So, besides bringing people to the imperishable part of bhakti to make them saintly, besides that, you, the preacher, whether grihastha, sannyasi or whatever, you also derive great satisfaction and pleasure and enlightenment from conversing with one another, whether devotees, whether non-devotees, about Krishna. Satisfaction and enlightenment. Because you speak about Krishna, there's a satisfaction that you are doing what you're supposed to be doing. Now, enlightenment comes from the fact that by speaking about Krishna, you have the ability or the blessing to be able to constantly remember Krishna. By constantly remembering Krishna, what happens? All the dead, hidden dust which has covered our mind's mirror gradually become cleaned, so it's enlightened. You actually get to see the real picture. But if we don't talk about Krishna, if we don't converse about Krishna, how can enlightenment and satisfaction come about? So, minus the fact that we want to help people come onto the saintly platform. That's why, now, this verse is very interesting. Like I said, that Indra made the statement that the perfect Goshti Anandi, the perfect preacher, the perfect person who goes out there to help people is the one who is self-realized. Now, enlightenment and satisfaction comes from talking about Krishna, whether to non-devotees or to devotees, whichever way. Now, that enlightenment and satisfaction has to be up to a level where you have at least saturated enough to give. Now, someone might say, but there is no qualification for giving the holy name. You know, you don't have to be a pure devotee to give the holy name. Anyone can give the holy name. It's true. But need we reiterate and mention the fact that according to one very simple example before I state, okay, let me give the example, the verse first. According to your level of realization, to that same level of realization is the potency of what you give. What do I mean? One man, just one man, Srila Prabhupada, started all of this. One man, characters under a tree. One man. I am here today because of that one man. Just chanting under a tree. Today we have thousands of people. Thousands. Now, do not get me wrong. I'm not trying to say that people or we are not doing, it's not to criticize anybody. But look at the potency of one man's chanting. One. We have not been able to replicate what he has done. We're only continuing from what he has done. Now, is this to say people don't have the same potency? No. But the point is, it is clear that there is a large difference in the chanting of someone who is fully realized and those of us who are struggling to get realized. We cannot deny that fact. If not, we're going out every day, we're chanting every day. Why are we not also taking over the whole planet like Srila Prabhupada did? It's a question to ask. He had very limited time, but look at how much he did. We've had at even more than the time he had. 50 years now, movement. We've had practically double the time he had. But we've not done as much as he has done. I don't know how many people have written as many books Prabhupada wrote in the time he wrote. I don't know. I've not seen yet, you know. I'm yet to see. I don't know how many people in our movement now who have traveled around as much Prabhupada has traveled in that short time. And opened as many centers as he has opened in that short time. Despite his age, physical condition and everything. So you can see that the potency has to be there. And that's why I keep saying purity is the force. The force is not ashram, strength, age, place. Purity is the force. If you have the purity, then it shows. Irrespective of the physical condition, constraint, place, circumstances, that will act, but if the purity is there, it will definitely come out. So, having that in mind, that whether grihastha, sannyasi, brahmachari, or whatever, that ultimately, and this is the why, I keep asking why, that, okay, we are on the path of devotional service, we are supposed to deliver people, we are supposed to bring them to the saintly platform, but why? Why should I bother? How is it my business? First, because Krishna says by doing that you're very dear to him. That's the first why. Now, the second why is because by doing it, I actually get satisfaction. You get satisfaction. And you get enlightenment to understand further why you're doing it. Now, if satisfaction and enlightenment is not there side by side, if you're doing something over time and you're not satisfied, one day you will stop. That's why people leave. Oh, this person, what about he left? Oh, that Mataji, oh, she left. Because she's not getting the satisfaction, or he's not getting the satisfaction that she's supposed, or he's supposed to get. Now, there could be a lot of other external factors, but that's the main thing. Now, if you don't get the enlightenment needed to continue, at some point, you might be deriving some external satisfaction, but because you don't have enough enlightenment inside, then you start having doubts. This doubt, that doubt, you start doubting everything, the process, the deities, guru, the scripture, because you don't have enough enlightenment inside. And what is this enlightenment? Knowledge. Not just knowledge, but vigyan, realized knowledge. And all of this is engaged in, is enveloped in conversing with one another about Krishna. Sukadeva Goswami, in quote, attained perfection by speaking. Parikshit Maharaj, in quote, attained perfection, in quote, by hearing. They were both satisfied and they were both enlightened. Now, Sukadeva Goswami's duty, in quote, was to bring Parikshit Maharaj to the saintly level, in quote, and relieve him from a fallen state, in quote. But at the end of the day, he was getting satisfaction by doing that. And also enlightenment. In quote. I mean, we all know he's not an ordinary jiva, but that's why I say in quote. And Parikshit Maharaj also the same thing. So, higher than the duty is the reason. If not, everything becomes mechanical. Okay, we have to preach because we have to preach. We have to speak about Krishna because we have to speak about Krishna. But at the end of the day, it's not just to deliver people. It's not about how many people I make devotees. It's not about how many people I have as disciples. It's not about how many people who join. At the end of the day, it's about how happy am I in doing this? How has this made me more Krishna conscious? How has this made me remember and think of Krishna more? How has this enlightened me more? How has this given me more satisfaction in my spiritual quest? That's the end of the day. That's what counts. Then Prabhupada says that the devotee goes from door to door begging. And if he's given something, he doesn't refuse it. So which is to say that invariably, whether the sannyasi or the grihastha, that whatever resources we get while trying to propagate Krishna consciousness, while trying to bring people to the saintly level, while trying to enlighten people, whatever resources that come our way, we should not forget that these resources are meant for Krishna's service. Because resources will come here and there. But if we at any point in time start thinking, you know, maybe this resource is for my enjoyment. Maybe it's for me. Maybe it's for myself and grandissement. Maybe it's to make me, you know, then we have problems. Definitely. So, by carrying out Krishna's duties, by carrying out this service, by enlightening people, not only do we get satisfaction internally and enlightenment, but we also get material attributes. And this is said to be one of the byproducts of bhakti. They come. But if we get distracted by this byproduct, and start thinking that maybe the byproduct itself is the goal, then we lose focus. So, Grihastha Ashram, the byproduct is enjoyment, comfort, etc. That is the byproduct. But the goal of the ashram is charity. Now, if you miss the goal and focus on the byproduct, then, you know, you're a grihamedi. The goal of sannyasa ashram is to preach and be detached. The byproduct is respect, adoration, and so many other things. If you miss the goal and get distracted by the byproduct, hurry, hurry, ball. The goal of brahmacharya ashram is service, discipline, austerity, etc. The byproduct is pride. If you miss the goal and focus on the byproduct, or even better still, things like ojasteja. It is said that when the brahmacharis, one practices brahmachari for a long time, he develops what is called ojasteja. When they ask you for something, or when they say something, you cannot refute it. Now, yeah, you're looking at me surprised. Interesting. Don't worry, that's another topic. But if you get distracted by this byproduct of brahmacharya ashram, fine intellect, super fine memory, good voice, then you miss the point. So every ashram, which is, seems to be the topic here, has a goal. If you get distracted by the byproduct of that ashram, you miss the point. Same thing, vanaprastha. Detachment. Visiting holy places. Purification. Prayashita. But if you get distracted and start vagabonding, you know, then you miss the goal. I think I've spoken more than time. But in summary, what this verse is, what Srila Prabhupada is trying to explain in the purport is that we all have certain responsibilities irrespective of our spiritual or material placement, vana and ashram, etc. But at the end of the day, we should know that the ultimate goal of wherever we are, excuse me, is to help people to come out of their fallen positions, to come to the saintly platform. Not just because we have to do it as a duty, but because we also have to do it to get satisfaction and enlightenment. And at the end of the day, we want everyone to be dear to Krishna. Hare Krishna. If there's any quick question, comment, correction, contributions.
There's a statement in the Quran that sannyas is forbidden, practical yoga. But you can say that sannyas ashram in ISKCON is different from this classical. So it's not, is that a good argument?
You know, this question, you should ask those who take sannyasi, not me. Ask them, if you see any sannyasi, you know, tell them this, that there's this argument, but why did you take sannyasi? Then they can tell you, I'm not a sannyasi, why should I defend sannyasi ashram? Now that might sound like a way of escaping the question. I can give you logical arguments why it is or why it is not, but it is not in my place. If you see a sannyasi, ask him, Maharaj, why did you take sannyasi knowing that it is forbidden? And let him tell you. It's practical. Any other question? Yeah.
It's forbidden. Karma sannyasi is forbidden. This is forbidden sannyasi, karma, nama, sarvira, like word, deeds,
mind. Yeah, like I said I could give you logical, but at the end of the day, I don't think there. See that I said this is the goal. I just explained. So many ashrams have a goal, and there's byproduct. Now, different people take sannyasi for different reasons. That is for sure. I don't think there are any two people who have taken sannyasi for the same reason. It sounds like it's strange, but it's the fact. So you ask them. Why they did it. The reason why I got into my ashram is not the reason why someone else got into their own ashram. The reason why you're brahmachari today is not the reason why he's brahmachari today. True or false? You have your own reason, he has his own reason. So, but there is the standard reason, which I can give you in theory, but that doesn't answer your question. It might. I can give you references and all of that, but at the end of the day, different people have different reasons why they do different things. And at the end of the day, we all see the reasons why. So that's why I say it's best you ask people who are in this ashram, why are you doing this? I give an example. Now let's not look as if we're attacking only sannyasis. Let me give you another example. The standard answer when you ask grihasthas, why did you get married? The first thing you hear, or the first three answers you hear is, I want to help my partner become Krishna conscious. I want to help them go back home back to Godhead. I want... Lie! Lie! It might look like I'm being proud, but I challenge any grihastha who would tell me to my face in front of the deities that the main reason why he or she got married was because he wants to help the partner go back home back to Godhead. Say in front of the deities, let me hear. Lie. You have sex desires, you cannot control yourself, and you're looking from one place to just legitimately have it while you get rid of it, hopefully, and become advanced. That's the reason. That's the plain, painful reason. Now, if any grihastha says this is not true, he should come and say in front of the deities here that that is not why. That the first reason that got into his or her head when he or she got married was to help the other partner to go back and back to Godhead. I would like to hear it. There might be exceptions, but very few. But the reason why we are supposed to do it is to help the other person. That's the reason. That's the goal. But there's the byproduct. And not two people get into the same ashram for the same reason. This is the fact. So, if you ask me now, why do people get married or go into grihastha ashram? Oh, so they can give charity, so that they can help their partners go back home back to Godhead, so they can raise Krishna conscious children. But how many of that is happening? Sad truth. So it's not just about sannyasi, it's every ashram. So that's the truth. Until people become truthful here and here, and accept and follow, then there will be peace. Oh, okay.
You said, and this is really important, about how to make people happy. First, yourself, make on yourself, on your character, on your values. Because better to be humble, and before, because Prabhupada is not, this is not static, Prabhupada is here. I mean, we need to be serious, because he was just didn't make, he really believed in the words of the Spirit. So, because of this, we are, like you said, falling.
I didn't say, proper say.
Said that we are falling. And because of this, we need to follow, when we are falling, we need to follow instructions so seriously, because when you cannot follow, you just pray to Krishna. You just really, Krishna help me, I cannot follow. And be sincere, like you said, it is good, it's really important to be sincere to yourself, to your nature. Because the self-realization cannot come when you are serious and truthful to yourself, who you are actually. And this is so, so important, that how we can make happy others. Because they see, people see, I see when I go out and I was not happy. The people say to my face, and I say, thank you, Krishna told me through you that I'm not happy. And then I say, I cannot preach like that. So for preaching, it's really training, but really that we need to work on ourselves, be truthful, whatever, because we are conditioned. We cannot say we are okay. We need to work on this condition and to say yourself, okay, I'm conditioned like this. Please, Krishna, please, Guru, help me. Because this is opportunity. Prabhupada just come because of this reason. And really, we need to like grab these feet like this, like when Prabhupada going to go from this world. We grab their feet. We need to really to pray that to cooperate nicely also. When something, a conflict comes, we need to speak with each other, not staying on this level. Like, it's really important to stay between, and then can be really this happiness going, how to say this, can be that happy. And especially in front of deities. Because I was thinking, like, when we assist the Guru, it's not just on altar, just not for Tulsi. All the time, the Guru is here, in the form of books, in the form of vote is so important and duties. And you say very nicely, I appreciate that, you say, go truthful, we need to limit ourselves. Okay, I'm conditioned like this, I have these desires, I have this condition, and work on this, because we need to make happy also the votes with each other when we cooperate.
Okay. Sorry for stretching your time. I was supposed to end 8:45, but it's 9 o'clock. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for listening. If I've offended anyone knowingly or unknowingly, please forgive me. Dantara Sri Sri Chintana Charitamrita Ki. Nitai Gaura Premanande.